Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 70, Sri Krishna's Daily Activities. Sri Shuku Vacha Atoshas Yupapa Upavrittayam Kukutan Kujato Sapan Grihita Kantaya Patibir Maravyo Virahatura. Shukadeva Goswami said, as dawn approached, the wives of Lord Madhav, each embraced around the neck by her husband, cursed the crowing roosters. The ladies were disturbed that now they would be separated from Sri Krishna. Rukmini, this verse, of course, is explaining how attached Krishna was to following the principles of Dharmarth Kam. So he had spent the night with his wives, and now it's time for his art as the administrator of Dwarka City. So he had to perform his morning duties. So he was not attached to his wives. He merely got up with the crowing of the roosters, which is a little bit before sunrise, about a half hour before sunrise. These male chickens, roosters, they make this noise. But Rukmini did not have to go to Sudharma Assembly House, and she'd rather stay with her husband and in the palace, embracing him. But Krishna gave that up. Vayam syauro ruvan krishnam bodhyantiva vadina gayatsvashlishvadindrani mandara vanavayubi. The bees buzzing caused by the fragrant breeze from the Parijat garden roused the birds from sleep. When the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna like court poets reciting his glories. Awakened by the fragrant breezes, the bees started singing, which in turn roused the birds. Krishna woke up from hearing the sweet chirping of these birds, which sounded like bards. The birds sounded like bards. Bards means poets or minstrels. Mahurtam tam tuvai darbi namurishyat atishobanam parirambana vishleshat priya abhavantaram gata. Lying in her beloved's arms, Queen Vaidarbhi did not like this most auspicious hour, for it meant she would lose Krishna's embrace. So Krishna got up during Brahma Muhurta hour, 90 minutes before sunrise, and to bathe and to do puja and meditation, all these things. And this is a very auspicious Mangala Titi. They were at Mangalartik during this time, around this time. And but for the queens, they mention the name Rukmini because she is the chief of the queens. She is Krishna's first wife in Dwarka Leela. So she's considered to be the chief of the queens, the Mukhya Mahishi, the prime queen. And although it was auspicious for the world and auspicious for the Vaishnavas and auspicious for the Lord, it was most inauspicious for Rukmini and all the other 16,000 queens. For them, auspiciousness means to be with Krishna. And auspiciousness means to serve Krishna. And there is conjugal consorts, so they're rendering their topmost service in the intimacy of the bedroom of the palace. Now Krishna's going to the public assembly for darshan and other functions. So now their service time is over. Their principal service in Madhurya Ras, conjugal love, swakya, bhav. Now they'll cook and they'll clean and organize and do so many things. But that service is not the distinguishing characteristic of Madhurya bhav. Anyone in any bhav can cook and clean and prepare. So the queens have a very special role to play. So they consider, oh, this is inauspicious. We can't serve Krishna. And this is the real meaning of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness. Every moment is Mangala Tithi when one is remembering Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna creates all auspiciousness. Om apavitra pavitra vasava vastam gatopi va yak smarit pandrikaksham sava yabhyantara suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. In this mantra, it's saying whether one is pavitra or apavitra, whether one is pure or impure. Om apavitra pavitra va sarvavastam gatopi va. Wherever he's going, sarvavasta, sarvavas, sarvavasta, gatopi. Wherever he's staying or wherever he's moving. Yak smarit pundrikaksham. If he simply remembers smaranam, the lotus, the white lotus petals of Krishna's eyes, pundrik. Pundrik is a white lotus, komudi. It's also called komudi. Krishna anika komudi. This blooms at night under the influence of the moon rays and closes in the day. Mysterious lotus. Pundrikaksham, the aksha, the eyes, because Krishna's eyes are, of course, dark blue in color, and then white and they're reddish on the border. Sometimes they say Krishna's eyes are red. It's not quite like that. But the white part of his eyes is very beautiful, very gentle and moist, and full of enticing gestures and feelings and loving sentiments for each of his devotees. It's called Krishna Kripa Kataksha, the sidelong glances of Krishna. Devotees pray for just one moment, this glance of Krishna's eyes upon them. This is darshan. So this is auspiciousness, to be serving Krishna in whatever capacity or ever way that one is endowed with. If he can serve Krishna, he's a fortunate person. He's the chosen one, the lucky one. Sobhagya Jeev means very fortunate. Oh, what a lucky man. Rama Mahurta Uttaya Varyu Paspishya Madhava Dadyo Prasanna Karana Atmanam Tamasaparam Hekam Swayam Jyotir Ananyam Avyavyam Swam Swasamstaya Nitya Nirasta Kalmasham Brahmakyam Asod Bhavanasha Hitubi Swashakti Vir Lakshita Bhava Nirvritam. Lord Madhava would rise during the Brahma Muhurta period and touch water. With a clear mind, he would then meditate upon himself, the single, self-luminous, unequaled, infallible supreme truth, known as Brahman. So Krishna, Dwargadish, would meditate on himself, Dvachman. Because who else is there to meditate on? He's the beginning and the middle of all things. Ham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva vajanti mam buddhava samanvita. By his very nature, ever dispels all contamination, and through his personal energies, which cause the creation and destruction of this universe, manifests his own pure and blissful existence. Just as some other person meditates during Brahma Muhurta period, Krishna also meditated, but on himself, as the one Supreme Lord who reveals himself beyond the darkness of nature. Krishna's plenary avatars, like Sankarshan, are each individually and eternally present within him. Krishna is perfectly complete. Ataplutom bas yamale yataviti. It says that Sri Krishna, that most saintly of personalities, well, that's obvious, would then bathe in sanctified water, dress himself in lower and upper garments, and perform the entire sequence of prescribed rituals, beginning with worship at dawn. After offering oblations into the sacred fire, Lord Krishna would silently chant the Gayatri Mantra. Krishna executed the entire sequence of rituals, Kriya Kalapam. So it says wearing upper and lower cloth, that means you wear a dhoti with a chadar. Whenever you do puja, you have to wear a chadar. And he would bathe in sanctified waters. So, sanctified waters. What is sanctified waters? The sanctified waters means that it can mean different things. It can mean that he bathed in Ganga, Jamuna, Radhakund, Shamakund. But the Ganga and Jamuna are not there in Dwarka. So in this case, sanctified water would be water by which he called with mantra. There's a mudra for calling the sacred rivers into water. It's called, this is Jal Mudra. It's like this. This finger, because this one is not used so much. And then you touch the water with the tip of your finger, not your finger. Your fingernail touches the water, it's contaminated. Just the tip of your finger. So then you touch with the tip of your finger and then chant the mantra. Om Gange Cha Jamuna Cheva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jale Smin Sanadim Kuru is mantra. And you have either a bucket of water. Generally, you call this, you invoke, you're calling the sacred rivers by this mantra. There's seven sacred rivers, I think. Ganga, Jamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Saraswati, etc. You call them into the Achwan cup, or you call them into the water, the Balti. So that becomes sanctified water. Another way you can sanctify water is you put one tulsi leaf in water. And any water that washes a tulsi leaf, which means comes in contact with a tulsi leaf, becomes turned into Ganga. So powerful tulsi is. So he could take a tulsi leaf and touch the water and then take the tulsi out. Right. Of course, he'll offer the tulsi to Krishna, because tulsi should be offered to Krishna. So when we bathe Krishna with Charanamrita or Panchamrita, we put tulsi in the milk and tulsi in the yogurt. Then we bathe Krishna, Abhishekam, Idam, Abhishekam, and all these things. So now Krishna himself is bathing. So he could put tulsi leaves in the water, then he's bathing in sanctified water. Or he could call the mantra to the, could call the sacred rivers to the water by mantra. And then thirdly, what he could also do, or fourthly actually, he could have a small vial or a small dibba, small container of Ganga Jal in his bathroom, bathing room, which will be obviously quite separate from the other work, and especially in those days. The other business would be out in the field somewhere, some faraway place. So the bathroom is separate, independent. So then he would put a drop or two of Ganga or Jamuna inside that bucket or tub or whatever he was bathing in. Then that contact with that one drop would turn the entire volume of water into Ganga. So that's another sanctified bath. So when devotees increase their ruchi for Krishna, they want to be always engaged in pure activities. Shudahara. Pure eating pure sanctified foodstuffs, which is offered to Krishna prasadam. Shud ahar, shud achar, pure behavior. Shud achar, and shud vichar. They consider everything and they weigh everything and balance everything, and all their movements and decisions on the basis of shastra. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So this is Shud vichara. So the keynote here is purity, shuddha sattva. Sattva. Sattva is goodness, it's pure. But shuddha sattva is transcendental. So devotees, they want to become pure, then that's shuddha means pure, and then absolutely pure means Vishuddha sattva. Vishuddha means Vishesh Shuddha. Vishesh Shuddha means a very special kind of purity, right? Vishesh. So Vishesh Shuddha means Vishuddha sattva. Especially pure goodness. It means transcendence. It means divine life. Divine actions, divine thoughts, divine food will bring you to the Supreme Divinity. And the Supreme Divinity is the Holy Trinity, Vishnu, Ram, and Krishna. So Vishnu, of course, is in Vaikuntha, and Ram is in Ayodhya, in the higher plane of Vaikuntha. And the highest plane of Vaikuntha is Goloka Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, Sri Krishna. The highest form of the Absolute Truth in the most beautiful presentation. The highest aspect of the Absolute Truth in the most beautiful presentation. The Absolute Truth is reality, the beautiful. The Absolute Truth is Satyam Chividam Sundaram. Supreme Truth in all times and places, and supremely beautiful, Sundaram. And Shivadam, all auspicious. And so this is Krishna. So this is some different. So we can think, now what is the Adhyatmik Vichara? What is the lesson for us to learn from this verse about bathing in sanctified waters? We can ask ourselves, every day do I bathe in sanctified waters? We can say, no, when I go to Ganga or Haridwar, Mayapur, I bathe in sanctified waters, otherwise I bathe in municipal pani, sarkari pani, tanky water. In the winter I use the geyser, and in the summer I don't use the geyser. So then how to arrange our lives in such a way that we bathe once a day or twice or thrice a day in sanctified waters? It's not difficult. We just get some small bit of Radhakund water and we put a drop in the bucket. That's what they say, it's a drop in the bucket. But this is literal. A literal drop in the bucket. Literally, you drop whatever sacred river you have greater love and affection for, or sacred water, Jamuna or Ganga. But we're worshippers of Radha and Krishna, so we prefer Radhakund. So when we travel outside the holy dham, we carry a small vial, small bottle of Radhakund water, and we put on our head every day, and we put in our Achvan cup for puja, and we put a little drop in the bucket, a drop in the bucket before we take bath. And we say, Shamakund Radhakund ki jai, and then we take bath in Radhakund. So this way we're always bathing in Radhakund. I know saints from the Braj, they carry water like this for bath. And then because when they live in the Braj, the first thing they do in the morning, they go and pay obeisance, they wake up and they pay dandavats to Braj Bhumi, to the sacred land of Vrindavan. And then they take a little dust. That's their foodstuffs. Mora Pancha Grass. Mora Echai Gosai Kori Charanam Vandan. There's one thing, Mora Pancha Grass. Says that my foodstuffs is the dust from the feet of the six Goswamis. These are my five, panchagras means my five kinds of foodstuffs, panchagras, H.I. Gosai. H.I. Gosai, Kori, Chanana, Madan, Yohoite, Bigdanash, Abhishtapuran, Abhishta, Abhishtapuran. Abhishtapuran means all my desires will be fulfilled. H.I. Gosai, Kori, Chanana, Bandan. By worshipping this charan, by worshipping the lotus feet of Rupa, and Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt, Raghunath Das, Gopabhatta and Sri Jiva Goswami. By worshipping their feet, then that all my desires, sarva abhishta, all my aspirations, all my hankerings, aspirations, wishes and wants will be fulfilled absolutely and perfectly and expediently. So that's one shloka. And there's another shloka that says that Mora Pancha Grass, the lotus feet, the dust from the lotus feet is my foodstuffs, not rajma and puri and rasgulla and samosa. The dust. So what is the dust of the feet of the six Goswamis? What is that Pancha Grass? It is Braja Raj. Because they're wandering everywhere in Braj. So when the devotees get up in the morning, they pay dandavas to Braj and they take a little of that dust. And they pray that, let me live here, let me die here, let me serve here, life after life after life. Nadana na janana sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kaviye. Mama janmane janmane shre bhavatad bhaktir haitaki tai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.